You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, last hour for us. Alyssa Lang here in for Paul. Paul will be back tomorrow afternoon, so be sure to come back and hang out with him on Tuesday. We got another hour of your calls, though. 855-242-7285. Let's go back to the phone lines. I'm excited about this one, selfishly. A lot of y'all know I'm a Gamecock. I went to South Carolina. I've been hoping that Cat Daddy from South Carolina was going to call me. Cat Daddy, what's going on?
How about them Gamecocks, honey bun? I'm telling you what, after watching App State and Marshall beat Notre Dame, I have a great deal of more confidence in us whooping Georgia. What do you think about that?
Well, whooping's a strong word, Cat Daddy. I was just in Athens watching this team, and I would love to see South Carolina put up a fight. I may have made him upset saying that. What do you think South Carolina's going to whoop the dogs then?
I don't think they're going to whoop them, but I think they're going to hang in there better than most people are thinking. I said the same thing when they played the other day. Carolina's got some momentum going, and I like Bama. I think he is a lot like his daddy. Now, I know I talked to Feinbaum about this. A lot of coaches who've become famous and their sons got into the business didn't do as well. But I think Shane Beamer's a different nut that fell off the tree.
I will say, you know, I've told this story a lot over Shane Beamer's career tenure at South Carolina. You know, when that job came open, I did a lot of radio interviews and people were calling me as an alum, somebody who covered the program, asking, who do you think's going to get that job? And I remember texting and talking to a lot of the players who were there when I went to school, the back-to-back-to-back 11-win seasons, beating Clemson 5 years in a row, Outback Bowl wins, the great, great, some of the best years of South Carolina football. And the answer was resounding. It's got to be Shane Beamer. It's got to be Shane Beamer, from players who hardly played to players who started these football games. So I'm with you, Cat Daddy. I love what Coach Beamer has done so far in Columbia. I think he knows, and we all know, that there's a long way to go. But I'm with you, because it's going to be hard to not be motivated for Georgia coming to town, right? You expect to see these guys excited. Losing two starters on the defensive side of the football is going to be a challenge. But if anybody's going to get these guys ready and fired up to at least try to hang in there and compete, I think it's Coach Beamer.
Honey, I can hear a cheer from 5 points now.
Well, if I take my broadcaster hat off, I hope you're right. And put my fan hat on, I hope you're right, because I'd love nothing more for Gamecock fans to be able to celebrate something like that. I just think that Georgia is a little too far at this point. Coach said it last year. They got 105 stars on that team. Beamer's only been there for a season and a half at this point. I don't know. I hope it's a competitive football game, because we want to see a good football game. But I think South Carolina still has some work to do to catch up with the dogs.
I agree, Hunt. I'll tell you one thing. Appalachian State and Marshall, give us some hope, because we're going to be all right. And you're doing a great job on the show for Feinbaum. And God bless you, hon. Y'all all have a great day.
Well, I love it, Cat Daddy. Thank you so much, and thank you for calling. We'll take more of your calls, 855-242-7285. Chris is in Alabama. Chris, what's going on today?
Hello.
Hey, Chris. You're on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey, how are you doing? Sorry about that. I've got great news for all of the SEC West
fans that if you're not a Texas A&M fan.
Okay.
The Jimbo Fisher's buyout is $97
million.
And it doesn't go down for 5 years. Yeah, it doesn't go down for 5 years. So that was one thing that kind of caught my attention. It's also that Mark Stoops became the winningest coach in the history of Kentucky football, which he eclipsed Coach Bryant, who was there from, I believe, 46 to 53, 8 years. And so, you know, I don't see any possible way that he would leave Kentucky for a Nebraska job. But I'm like, yeah, y'all call, that way I can at least get a raise. And I think that would be apropos for him because he deserves to the accolades that he's earned on the field with his teams. But that were the main two. And of course, I am an Alabama fan, and I was glad we won that game. Bryce Young is a magician. Coach Saban's comments after the game, did you see that as he was going across the field?
Yeah, when with the interview or when he was telling the players to quit doing the horns down? Which one are you talking about?
That was the first thing. He said, quit doing that, blank. And then they interviewed Will Smith, Will Anderson. They said something to Coach Saban about Will Anderson said how loud it was there. And Coach Saban goes, well, it wasn't loud when he was out there.
that is true. Otherwise, Texas fans are doing something wrong if it's loud when Anderson's out there, right?
Yep. So anyway, I'm sure he's got their attention this week, and all will be fine. But here's the. Did you say you're Georgia? You pull for Georgia?
I went to South Carolina. I have my degree from the University of South Carolina. Yep.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. Georgia obviously has the best team right now, but it's early in September, and so things change along the way. Or, you know, if Alabama would have dropped to number five, I'd have been tickled to death. You know, just kind of like we don't deserve. Just get out of that conversation until we get better. I think they have a lot of young talent there. I think they will get a lot better. But they better do it pretty quick because, as everybody's pointed out, the schedule gets a bit foreboding on the road as October comes.
Yeah, and something that, you know, I was in Athens over the weekend with Matt Stinchcomb, one of my broadcast partners, and he pointed out, you know, there's been some games over the last season or two that Bama has struggled with on the road, Texas now being one of them. So to your point, you know, they go back home this weekend, then they get back out in conference play and start moving through the month of October. We're going to learn a lot about this team. So I think Bama fans, it seems like that's where everyone's concern is how quickly can we figure some of this stuff out?
That's it. Well, listen, enjoy the show. Have a great day. Thank you.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate that. Always great to talk to you. Let's go to Joe in Kentucky. Joe, what's on your mind today?
How you doing, Alyssa? You said enough people wasn't calling in from Kentucky, so I thought I'd call in.
I love it. Let's talk about Kentucky.
Let's do it. Let's get the Nebraska thing out of the way first. Stoops wouldn't take a pay cut to go to Nebraska. He always makes more money than what the Coach Frost did out there. They're $50 million in the hole already with coaches. But Coach Stoops is loved around here, and he knows it. He's already got raises built into his contract. You got to give Mitch Barnhart credit. I mean, he saw what he saw and stuck with Stoops, and he's proved him right. I mean, the guy's fantastic. Everybody, I don't know anybody that said anything bad about him. Now, let's talk about Kentucky's defense. Everybody wants to talk about offense. In eight quarters, there's only been two touchdowns scored. Eight quarters. That defense is extremely tough. I don't see them going on the road and having a whole lot of problems, with the exception, and everybody's going to think I'm stupid about this, is the Mississippi's. They always seem to give Kentucky trouble. But if they can get through undefeated to Georgia, that's going to be one of the most, I don't even know how to put it. This town will blow up if they come in here undefeated. It will be great. But I hope Georgia can. I really do. I like Georgia. I think Georgia's the best team in the nation. I agree with what Chris said. I think Alabama's down around number five, number six. They're an injury or two away from being mediocre on defense. As great as Will Anderson is, he took himself out of Heisman talk this past weekend. He's gone out of Heisman. But Bryce Young, he can't carry his team the whole time. He's going to need help. So the SEC is wide open. I couldn't be happier. I can't wait for the next two or three weeks to see what happens. Kentucky's going to get Rodriguez back right at the right time. That's going to balance out our offense. It's going to be great.
I'm with you, Joe. This Kentucky team has excited me for the last couple of months, especially when you look at, I know we were talking about the defense, when you look at this offense and what they return, but I don't think Brad White gets enough credit for what he's been able to do year in and year out with this Kentucky defense. I don't think Coach Stoops gets enough credit for retaining Brad White year after year, and I don't think Mitch Barnhart gets enough credit for buying in, like what you said, to the vision of Coach Stoops. How many coaches do we see get 2-3 years and then they get chased out of town? But Barnhart has bought into everything that Stoops has been doing, which is showing improvement year after year after year. You talk to these players, too, who play for Mark Stoops, whether they go to the league or they don't, and, I mean, they would walk through fire for that man. And it's evident based off of how they play, right? They're a tough, hard-nosed, blue-collar football team. We say it every single year. And the fact that Stoops was able to rely on that Kentucky defense down the stretch in Gainesville, it helped him win the football game, an ugly football game at that. So I'm with you. I was hoping more Kentucky fans would call because I want y'all to celebrate this dub because I think it is a huge deal, not only for the program, but for the state of the SEC East as we look through the next couple of weeks and this season. Joe, thank you so much for calling. Hope you enjoy the rest of the year. And yeah, I hope that Georgia-Kentucky game has two undefeated teams when we get to that one. Let's go to Brian in North Carolina. Brian, what do you want to talk about today?
Hey, Lister. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
And I call you Lister because I have a niece named Alyssa, and I call her Lister. So, were you ever called anything like that growing up?
No, can't say that. Maybe Liss occasionally, but I don't love it. So, usually just Alyssa or Lang. Well, you know, I've got an easy last name to say.
Yeah, I'm a Bama fan. And I've been listening to a bunch of people about the Bama game, and what's the best thing that could have happened to Bama is having a game like that. Because, you know, a couple of years ago, Saban said one of his big challenges is getting his team to real think they can beat anybody that comes on the field to play them. And that was a really good wake-up call for me. And not taking anything away from Texas, they played a great game. But they will not play a game like that again this year because everybody gives Bama their best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brian, that was something I was talking about earlier in the show. I'm sorry to cut you off, Brian. We were up against a break, and I mistimed it, so that's my fault. But I was saying that earlier in the show. You're 100% right. When you're Alabama and you have the resume that Nick Saban has and you've won the titles, not only in the SEC but nationally that Alabama has, you're getting everybody's best shot every single weekend. We saw that from Texas on Saturday. As I said, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll check in with the guys from TOL. That's next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, Thinking Out Loud is on tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, right after we are done here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Richard Johnson, Spencer Hall, right here on the SEC Network. Hey, we had a call here on the Paul Feinbaum Show about 20 minutes ago about these guys. Take a listen.
And your former show, Thinking Out Loud, you have two new guys. This gets second season. First of all, they look like they should own a craft brewery, not be talking football.
I have to get an answer on this as we welcome in Richard and Spencer. I feel like you guys would drop everything to own a craft brewery, to be honest.
Well, A, yes. B, my retort is I'm still pretty, though. So
yeah.
Who really wins in the end?
Yeah, and I'm charming. I won't claim pretty, but charming, charismatic, compelling, absolutely. Also, yeah, I'd like to own a craft brewery, but if you don't think you can talk craft brew and football, broaden your mind, friend.
Mm-hmm.
This
You're
is
lost.
True. Maybe that's the business strategy, a college football-themed craft brewery. I'm just throwing that out there because now you guys have to involve me in the creative process, therefore pay me. That being said, what's coming up on TOL tonight? What can we expect from you guys coming up in about 40 minutes?
You see how she slid that in there, right?
Yeah.
She deserves restitution, mm-hmm. reparations,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
et cetera.
So we already owe her. That's okay. We'll go ahead and set an invoice for that. What do we got coming on the docket tonight? Man, I'm going to talk about Kentucky because I think Kentucky's cool. I think that everyone is sleeping on what I believe is the second best team in the SEC East and the conference's most physical team, top to bottom, not named Georgia. I'm going to go ahead and say that, not named Georgia. They might hear that, and I'm scared of them. Okay, so, but what happened with them versus Florida shouldn't be a surprise. 3 out of the last 5 against the Gators at this point.
Yeah, one of the most instructive things that I think we've got planned today is to talk about what happened to Will Anderson on Saturday, maybe what didn't happen with Will Anderson on Saturday. I don't think he really lit the world on fire statistically in the loss to Texas, even though he is, in my opinion, still the best college football player in the country, despite position. But we break down a little bit of what happened there, how Texas tried to and executed taking him out of the game. We also talk a little bit about NFL draft prospects, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of native North Carolinian talk with our friend Ryan McGee, who will stop by the office.
I love that. I want to go back to something you guys just said, mentioning Will Anderson. We've had a lot of calls throughout the afternoon today, some saying that this game against Texas played Will Anderson out of the Heisman conversation completely. I'm sure you guys have a take about that. What do you think, Richard? I'll start with you.
Listen, Texas is on scholarship too, and Texas's coaches get paid too. And Texas had a very clear plan to take him out of the game. Now, they kind of had to throw it out when Quinn Ewers got hurt, which you understand, because they had to throw a lot of their game plan out. But when Ewers was in the game and they were taking shots, they said, Will, we're double teaming you. It doesn't matter. If somebody else is going to sack Quinn Ewers, that's all well and good with us. It's not going to be number 31. And they executed it to a T. It was a great plan that they executed perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I think when you consider that, you understand, hey, I don't think Lawrence Taylor was going to get a sack against the game plan Texas had in that game.
I maintain he would have gotten one. I will say this about Will Anderson in this. Any of those people got Heisman votes? Any of them are an actual voter? Okay, I'm going to talk my mess now.
Okay, uh-huh. Are you allowed to?
I'm in my feelings now that somebody said I look like, you know, we should own a craft brewery.
Are you allowed to?
We should own a craft brewery, but we should also have a Heisman vote, okay? So I can't say anything about this,
right.
Okay? But I might have a little more stake in this than the people who don't. I will also say, guess what? You can't stay in the bar if 2 or 3 guys are throwing you out of the bar on every play, which is what was happening to Will Anderson, okay? Getting double teamed every single play. He's still the best defensive player in the nation. He's in whatever awards race you care to put him in.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you guys on that one. I am a little concerned, though, if everybody takes a leaf out of Texas's book on how to maintain or keep Will Anderson at bay. Makes me a little bit nervous, but he's an absolute athletic freak, so you have to remember that as well. Spencer, you mentioned Kentucky. We're celebrating Kentucky all week long. Huge mm-hmm. win for them down in the swamp. What about Florida? Where do they go from here? What do they do now going into next week?
Well, we get a nice little rebound against South Florida for the Gators, which is a team that has been improving, but still definitely in full rebuild mode there in Tampa. So they get that, and that gives a chance to give Anthony Richardson the thing that Napier himself has said he believes is the issue, confidence. Just get him confidence. He had a really bad game. He had a miscommunication with the wide receiver. He had his first really bad game. Remember, we're at start number 3 for Anthony Richardson, lifetime in terms of football. I think this is what you see with a young quarterback developing. All the tools are still there. He's just got to learn how to manage his emotions, find plays that work for him when he's struggling, and get back on track. This is something all young quarterbacks go. Even as talented as he is, he's not immune to maturing.
Yeah, you also have a team in Kentucky who they've been doing this a while under Mark Stoops.
10 years. They remind people, 10 years.
They have a defined identity that they know and can congeal around. Florida, despite the week one fireworks, are still trying to find it. It was a great win in week one over Utah. They still have to try to find that identity and figure out what they really are, what they do the best.
Yeah.
And they came up against a Kentucky team that had a plan, a Kentucky team that actually congealed around that plan over the course of 60 minutes. It was incredible to see from the beginning of the game to the end how Kentucky got better, how Kentucky found a couple of things that worked and really glommed onto those for the better part of that game.
Yep.
I don't know why congealed does the same thing for me as moist. I just don't like that word.
It's kind of an ugly word.
Ugh, congealed. All right, before I let you guys go, one more question for you, and I'm going to use this selfishly as an opportunity to maybe apologize, because I was on this show a couple weeks ago, and I said one of the teams that I had the most questions about was Arkansas with the amount of transfers that they have coming in. Would these pieces be able to gel in together? A lot of people were hype about Arkansas. I didn't necessarily see it at the time. I see it now. How good do y'all think that this Arkansas Razorback backs team is or could be?
I think Arkansas is just properly rated. I'm not saying Arkansas is going to go to the playoff.
Yep.
But they're not going to miss a bowl. No chance. I don't see any step back from what they were last year, even though they are putting in new parts. And that is a credit, if not anything else, to what Sam Pittman has built, with the coordinators that he has in the building. And everybody has been in the building more or less since Sam Pittman got there. And that is really important when we talk about congealing around an identity.
What you want out of Arkansas football, okay? You need to be the big dude with a stick, okay? What's his special move? Big stick. Hit people with it, right?
Womp.
Run the ball,
womp
play
them.
Defense, and womp them. That's it, okay? So I don't think we've got anything that we didn't expect Arkansas to be. I think they're right there in terms of, like, top of the second tier in the SEC West. That top tier, by the way, is just Alabama. It's just Alabama.
I love it. Big stick, cold beer. The four words. That's all you need to know for this Arkansas team. Before I let y'all go, I know you guys are getting ready for the show coming up about 30 minutes. Can we just talk about how stressed I was on Saturday afternoon that the soundbite that Richard teed me up for last week on that very show was going to make it in a Texas hype video? When Richard, what did you ask me? Please tell the people what you threw at me there at the last second.
Oh, it was her national championship prediction?
Oh, yeah.
No,
that's where Alyssa had repeatedly said that South Carolina was going to win the national title.
We didn't say
that.
You're the one that said it.
Yeah, you're the one who said it. It's on the record.
Why would we put words in your mouth? We're friends.
It's on the record that y'all still somehow have not found tape of, which is the, once again, lying again. But Richard asked me last week, will Texas be back? And I actually didn't know the question was coming, so I genuinely laughed and said, absolutely not, no. And I really thought that was going to be the start of a hype video. If the Longhorns won that football game, I was sweating.
Alabama's kicking game saved you, if anything else.
Yeah. We don't count almost. If you're saved by a point, they're still not back, all right?
A win is a win.
Oh, my goodness. Guys, you're the best. Cannot wait to see what y'all have in store for us coming up 7 o'clock. Be sure to tune in to TOL. Richard Johnson and Spencer Hall will have you set for a great hour of TV right here on the SEC Network. We have to take a break here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. We'll be right back with more of your calls.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Rocket is back Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time, right here on the SEC Network. Myself and Andrea Carter, who's currently somewhere right now covering the WNBA Finals, taking red eyes back to Charlotte to be back for this show. We always have a ton of fun celebrating our college football fandom, talking about the stories that we hear across the SEC on the sidelines on Saturdays. We got another jam-packed show heading your way, so be sure to come hang out with us on Wednesday night. Speaking of Out of Pocket, and somebody we've had on Out of Pocket multiple times because of his eating habits, Will Levis apparently posted this photo on his Instagram page. Yeah, that's a, fried gator, grilled gator? I'm not. That's burnt to a crisp gator. Shout out to my producer, Brams, for, you know, reminding me of that as I stare at this picture. I'm not trained in gator food delicacy, so I'm not really sure how that was served. But yeah, Kentucky's team dinner does appear to be appropriate given what we saw this past weekend in the Swamp. If anyone's going to celebrate something like that, it's going to be Will Levis. And rightfully so, right? Like, this guy has one of the biggest chips on his shoulders. He plays that way. He's tough. He's passionate. Another reason why I have that Kentucky-Georgia game circled on the calendar coming up in just a few weeks, because you know that Georgia handed it to those Wildcats a season ago who came in to Athens ready for a battle, and man, they fought. That was an emotional loss for Will Levis. I still think Georgia, like I've been saying all day, has a leg up on the rest of the SEC East, but I think that is going to be a fun game, certainly, when we get to it. Let's take some more of your calls. We've got about 30 minutes left in the show, 855-242-7285. Shane is in Kentucky. Perfect segue, Shane. What do you want to talk about with your Wildcats?
Hey, let's talk about the first thing is that Coach Stoops, he's not going to Nebraska. It's not to knock another state, but it's Nebraska, and that's all I want to say about that. Second thing, let's talk about the wheels. And, you know, you talked about Will Anderson maybe playing his way out of the Heisman. Well, what about Will Levis playing his way into the Heisman? I mean, he's got a great record. He's got a great arm. Puts up yards. I mean, not a great yard this past weekend, but a great defense against Florida. He done well. And the second thing, or third thing, is I think Kentucky's linebacker core is by far, hands down, the best in the country. And that's why Florida's quarterback had, I do believe, 4 yards rushing. So what do you think about that? Do they have, is Kentucky's defense good enough to hold on the SEC and bring us in the East? What do you think?
I think they're definitely up there in the conversation, right? We learned a lot about them this past weekend in the Swamp. As we talked about, it was an ugly football game, certainly for the first half, but sometimes it's even more impressive to go on the road in an environment like the one in Gainesville and win an ugly football game, especially leaning on your defense. As you mentioned, I'm with you. I think there's certainly an argument that could be made for Kentucky having some of the best linebackers in the league as a room, and that's something that they've taken such pride in, right, over the last several years with Brad White leading that defense in the way that he has. I've been saying this since August. If Kentucky can put the pieces together, if they can play to the full potential that I believe that they have, this is going to be a team that messes things up for the Tennessees and potentially the Georgias if the ball bounces their way. That game is in Lexington, I believe. So Kentucky is going to be a team that we're talking about if they continue to take care of business down the stretch, certainly when it comes to the SEC East.
Yeah, exactly. It comes down to Kentucky being in the road games. There's 2 road games against Ole Miss and, of course, against Tennessee. Everybody's hopping on Tennessee. But I think that's the key to our rest of our season is take care of those 2 road games. We can handle the home games, and then we'll see what we can do against Georgia. We're looking for maybe SEC game day or ESPN game day 1 coming in. So we'll hopefully get the big W for the Cats.
Hey, I think if both of those teams take care of business, that would not be out of the question, certainly. Hey, when Kentucky football is good, it's an exciting time to be in the SEC. And I know there are a lot of fans, Tennessee fans out there, Georgia fans out there, Florida fans out there now saying, what are you talking about? But Kentucky football, man, when they're rolling, it's really fun to watch, especially when you look at that blue-collar mentality that we talk about all the time with the Mark Stoops-led football team. Shane, enjoy the win from this past weekend. Enjoy what should be another fun game for your Cats this coming Saturday. Thank you so much for the call. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Lee is in Arkansas. Lee, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, you, I turned it over here and I saw you on there and I thought, oh, wow, this is a day to get in the call because you are so special. You're a special lady.
Well, thank you, Lee, and thank you for calling. I'm happy to talk to you today.
My take was, you know, I think the transfer portal has caught up with Nick Saban and Kirby because our two stars, I'm from Arkansas. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, we're going to the championship game or anything like that. I mean, I suffered in 1969. I'm that old. Yes, I'm old. And I suffered in 1969, lost to Texas, and Alabama barely got past Texas. So I love that. I love that. But what I'm saying is, the transfer portal has caught up with Nick Saban because he would come in to different states, not to mention any, but he would take their best players to Alabama and they would maybe second and third string. Now we are getting the second and third string players out of those places at our school, which it evens it up.
I see what you're saying. Certainly, you go to Alabama and you have to compete for time, right? You have to be the best of the best. Oftentimes, that's why we see all these 4 or 5-star guys go to Tuscaloosa. But I would also argue that Saban has dipped into the transfer portal successfully as well. You look at a guy like Henry To'oto'o, who comes over from Tennessee, Jermaine Burton, obviously, with Georgia now at Tuscaloosa. So I don't think Coach Saban's necessarily afraid to take advantage of that. But when you're Alabama, you don't necessarily have the same recruiting challenges, right, as some of the other schools who are fighting for relevance across the country.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying is, it evens it up more. So Alabama fans, I'm not threatening the Alabama fans, but I'm just saying that it evens it up a little bit more to the lesser people of the SEC other than Georgia and Alabama.
Well, I think your head coach, Sam Pittman, has done a great job in that department. I was just saying a few minutes ago, you know, the last time I did that show, somebody called in and asked me, I believe the question was, who I thought could have been overrated going into the season. And I remember saying, you know, I don't want to use that word for Arkansas, but a lot of people around me had been really excited and really hyped up about this team. And I was a little bit more hesitant because of the transfers, because of the new faces, because of the fresh guys that were going to be out there. We got to see gel together first, right? And we've seen that through the first 2 weeks. Obviously, it was a scrappy win, a double-digit win against South Carolina. At times, I know there were things that Arkansas fans were disappointed about, but man, this is a team that looks legit, and Coach Pittman went to the transfer portal to get them there.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe Pittman is the man here at Arkansas. It's what I've got to say.
Yeah, you could say that twice for sure. Lee, thank you so much for the call. Hope you enjoy the upcoming weekend, week 3 for the Razorbacks. They've looked good so far. Let's get a couple more calls in before our next break. Chelsea is in North Carolina. Looks like she wants to talk about Will Anderson. Chelsea, how's it going?
Hey, Alyssa, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I want to discuss Alabama, and obviously I would get kicked out of my hometown if I did not mention Appalachian State beating Texas A&M, which was huge. So I definitely want to bring that up since I am from Boone, North Carolina. But now I'm just going to get into Will Anderson. I am concerned about him getting out of the race for the Heisman. Obviously, his teammates, Bryce Young and Gibbs, they had a great game. And Paul Feinbaum mentioned before that those were going to be the two that he was going to be competing with. I want to be optimistic and just give him a chance and more opportunities to see what he can do throughout the season before I just write him off. But what are your thoughts on him still staying in this Heisman?
Yeah, I'm with you, Chelsea. I'm not even close to writing Will Anderson off from that conversation. When we started the season, I feel like I was screaming it from the rooftops. Just give the Heisman Trophy to Will Anderson at this point. Bryce won it a season ago. Obviously, he would deserve it if he were to win it again this season. But Will Anderson is a special guy. I will say this. You know, it was always going to be tough for him to win it as a defensive player, obviously. But Will Anderson also will not lose sleep over not being in the Heisman conversation, right? That's not his goal. If you talk to him, he's a team first guy. He has other goals in mind. I think us as fans would love to see him in that conversation. And I think, you know, as much as we make about this Texas game, we get into SEC play and he starts terrorizing SEC quarterbacks again, I think this conversation is going to be far, far gone when it comes to Texas. But as I was saying a few minutes ago, I think there's something to be said about the way that Texas was able to contain Will Anderson and how the rest of the league and Bama's opponents will kind of take a page out of that playbook, if you will, to try to do the same thing. Not saying it'll be successful because it's Will Anderson, but I'm not ready to write him off yet either.
Paul also mentioned a few teams that could possibly pull an upset on Alabama, and he mentioned Tennessee as one of them. And I watched that game, and Hooker, their quarterback, is impressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, his ability to just escape and make plays on the run, I mean, it's just outstanding what I've seen. And just the defensive side of it as well. They're definitely going to be a concern for me going forward if Alabama doesn't get their offensive line straightened out.
Chelsea, that's a great point, because if you look at Alabama's schedule, that Bama-Tennessee game is in Knoxville, October 15th, and you look at who they've got before then, they got to go to Arkansas, then Texas A&M comes to Tuscaloosa, which I don't care what you say about Texas A&M right now, knowing what's happened over the last 6 months, that's going to be a challenge. Then going back on the road to Knoxville, Tennessee, against what you just said, Chelsea, a really good Tennessee offense led by Hendon Hooker, who's extremely mobile, very athletic. That is going to be a game, certainly, that a lot of Bama fans, I think, are going to be zeroed in on, certainly. But if we know anything, as I've been saying all afternoon, Nick Saban's going to do everything in his power to get the guys ready to go. Chelsea, thank you so much for your call. A great shout out to Boone, North Carolina, a city that I know and love very much as well. So I know Aggie fans, still too soon. But Boone, it is a great place to visit. Can't lie. Hey, we got one more segment coming your way, coming up next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, last few minutes for us before we call it a day. Thanks for hanging out with me. Alyssa Lang here in for Paul, who will be back tomorrow. Let's take some more calls while we have a few more minutes to go. Handsome Joe is in Red Bay. Handsome Joe, how's it going?
Roll Tide, roll, Miss Alyssa Lang. And you know what? You're doing pretty good. But there's something I want to talk about, especially these It seems like these Georgia fans, they're more concerned about Alabama than they are their own team. The bottom line is we won a close game. I mean, last year we went to Texas and we lost a close game. But we went out there and we won this game. And in the fourth quarter, I've heard Texas fans saying, well, if we just had another quarter, well, that fourth quarter belonged to Alabama. I mean, we wore them down. It took four quarters to wear them down, or three and a half quarters, but we wore them down. And you know, it was a hostile environment. I mean, we didn't even have a fan within, you know, probably 500 yards from the field because they put them all up in the upper deck. We couldn't have a band out there, and they cut the air conditioning off in the locker room. I mean, it was stacked against us. And the whole game, all they did is just, I mean, they were surrounded by just Texas people just hollering and cussing at Alabama players. And so to come out there with a win, I don't care if it's one, I don't care if it's a half a point. Just come out of there with a win. Hey, we did good. And Melissa, I want to tell you this. Arkansas is the number two team in the SEC, and they may be the top team in the SEC. I told Paul Feinbaum last year that Arkansas was the team to watch, and he laughed at me. He laughed.
I'm with you, Handsome Joe. I have to agree. I think Arkansas has certainly wowed us over the last not only two games but last few seasons. Handsome Joe, thank you for calling. We wanted to get to Jim from Tuscaloosa. Jim, you hung up on me? What? I was waiting 4 hours for my buddy Jim from Tuscaloosa to call into this show, and now we only have like 30 seconds left. And I rushed Handsome Joe off the phone, only for Jim from Tuscaloosa to hang up. We don't even have time if he calls back. I'm heartbroken. I'm heartbroken, Jim from Tuscaloosa. This is going to be tough for me to get over. Randall Hogg has been on the phone. Randall, how's it going? We got about 30 seconds left. I know you've been hanging on the phone line.
Young lady, all I got to say is woo damn pig.
Hey, that's a hell of a way to end the show, Randall. Y'all have a lot to be excited about out there in Fayetteville right now. Certainly 2-0 going into week three. Hey, this has been such a great show. It's been such a fun time. Thank you all for calling in. As I said, Paul will be back tomorrow. Have a great rest of y'all's night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.